You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete.
Good evening, 7 p.m. service. We're currently going through this series called Unwavering. In fact, we've been through this for the past couple of weeks, and tonight we're down to the last installment of our Unwavering series. If you're wondering, ano man Unwavering ang gitawag nato, this is basically our faith series. We've been talking about faith over the past couple of weeks, and we've been talking about how to strengthen or deepen our faith. How do we have unwavering faith? When we say unwavering faith, it means something that's immovable. Hindi lang siya basta-basta, but destroyed nga faith. Again, unwavering, we're talking about fixed, immovable, and steady, or resolute kind of faith. And over the past weeks, we've been looking into the life of a particular man named Abraham. As we talk about faith, what better way to do it than to learn from a great man of faith? Over the past few weeks, we've looked at his successes, his milestones, his defeats, even his failures, even his mistakes. And through that, we've learned so many lessons when it comes to having unwavering faith. Just a quick recap of what we've talked about over the past few weeks. Firstly, week one, faith in relationship. We came to understand that our faith, it all boils down to relationship with God. It is first and foremost a God-initiated relationship. Now, the reason why we can have faith in the first place is because God initiated something in us, and that is a relationship with Him. When we see that in the life of Abraham, God called Abraham from this place called Ur or Haran, sa second hometown na niya, and then God called him from there to go to another place, to go to the land of Canaan. Secondly, we talk about faith and the Word. So yes, we have a relationship with God. That's how our faith starts. But how do we grow in our faith? What would sustain our faith? Diri mo pasok ang Word ni God. That's why we need to read or hear the Word of God. And of course, to obey and do the Word of God as well. We need the Word of God because the Word of God is like the spiritual food for us. If you don't eat, you will get weak, you'll get tired. The same thing with our faith. We need God's Word to sustain us. And we've looked at that in the life of Abraham. Na every time Abraham would feel down or he would make a mistake or mag-detour siya or di siya mutuon ni God, God would speak to him. God would give him a word. The same thing with us. We need to hear from God. And what better way than to read and hear His Word? Week 3, we talked about faith and purpose. That as people of God, God has big plans, purposes, and destinies for us. He has many things in store for us that He wants us to experience and accomplish. But for us to do those things, it takes faith. It takes faith to fulfill the purposes of God in our lives. And the same thing with Abraham as well. When we were looking in his life, there was a time in the portions of life of Abraham na nandiyan siya sa promised land that God intended him to get. But because there was a famine in that land, Abraham left. He did his own thing, and God had to do something to bring him back into the promised land for him to fulfill his purpose. And that took faith as well. Fourthly, we talked about faith and covenant. In this installment, we came to understand how faithful God really is. Because in this story, God made this sacred agreement with Abraham. Previously, by word palang iyon ni God, Abraham, I'm gonna do these things for you. I'm going to bless you, give you a new land. You're gonna be so fruitful, you're gonna be a father to many nations. Magkaanak mo, maski gulang na mo, Abraham. Before, it was just his word, pero kung word palang tani, Lord, actually, okay na to. But for Abraham's benefit, God made this agreement, this covenant with Abraham to tell Abraham that this is how faithful I am with you, Abraham. I'm going to fulfill my promise to you. I'm making this agreement. Next, in week 5, we talked about faith and waiting. When we talk about faith, we cannot remove waiting. We need to embrace seasons of waiting if we want to grow in our faith. And we talked about that. There's a story in Abraham na he got tired of waiting, him and Sarah, for a son. Kasi over a decade na ang ginahulat nila. Kasi Abraham has been waiting for a decade or more na prayer request. And there was a point in time that they got challenged to believe, so nag-shortcut sila. They didn't want to wait for it. Ganun sila instant. They did something, but God intervened as well and reminded them that, Abraham, you have to wait. I'm gonna be faithful to you. That's how we learn that good things come to those who wait. There are seasons of waiting. We need to embrace those seasons for us to grow in our faith. And lastly, we talk about faith and circumstances. But for some of us here today, whatever circumstance you're facing right now, it may seem impossible to fix. It may seem beyond hope. But with God, nothing is impossible. We've learned in that installment that there is nothing too difficult for the Lord. Just as God reminded Abraham, even in their old age, their hindrance in having a child, God could still provide a miracle for them, that they could still have children amidst their circumstances. So if we want to overcome our circumstances, it will take faith. And for today, for this last installment, for week 7, we're going to talk about faith and testing. We're going to look into perhaps the most famous story when it comes to Abraham. We're going to talk about the time where Abraham was called by God to offer or to sacrifice his son, Isaac. We're going to look at that. So if you have your Bibles with you, can you turn them to Genesis chapter 22, verses 1 to 14. In verse 1, it says here, "After these things, God tested Abraham and sent to him, 'Abraham,' and he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you.' So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac, and he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar." Verse 5, "Then Abraham said to his young men, 'Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you.' And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them, together. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, 'My father.' And he said, 'Here am I, my son.' He said, 'Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?' Verse 8, Abraham said, 'God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son.' So they went, both of them, together. They came to the place of which God had told him. Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, 'Abraham, Abraham.' And he said, 'Here am I.' He said, 'Do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me.' And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, 'The Lord will provide.' As it is said to this day, 'On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided.'" As we went through those background or that recap a while ago, we are down to the last installment. We're down probably to the last major story that involves Abraham and his household. We're down to the test of Abraham. And diving in straight to chapter 1, verse 1, it says here, after these things, after several other things happened in the previous chapters and verses, God tested Abraham. God did something for Abraham. He tested him. And here's one thing I want us to grasp, church, as we go through this installment, and that is, God will test us. There will be a testing of our faith. There will be challenges. There will be trials. Magka-exam ta every now and then. Anyone here, you love exams? Ikaw tong tipong sudyante nga, "Ma'am, mag-exam ta today? Ma, ready na ko. Naka-study na ko, ma'am, since 2 months ago." For many of you dread exams. For many of you here, you're thinking about, "Oh, finals exams na ako next week." You're dreading about it. We don't really like it. It can be discomforting. It can be tiring. Yes, kapway ang mag-exam, mag-test. But exams can be helpful for us, especially when it comes to our faith. There's a purpose and reason why God tests our faith. And the same thing with Abraham. There's a reason why God tested Abraham in his faith. James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3 gives us a glimpse of the benefit of going through challenges, going through tough times, and testing our faith. It says here in verse 2, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds," when you go through different kinds of challenges. For some of you, your studies, your work, your relationships, your finances, your health, your possessions, whatever kind of challenge that may be. It says here, "For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness." Meaning, na product ang mag-endure, mag-persevere, or when we go through challenges, it produces something good. And that is steadfastness. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. Yes, it can be difficult and hard going through a challenge, going through a testing of our faith. But it says here, we can rejoice because it produces steadfastness. And steadfast is important because it says here, someone who is steadfast is someone who is not swerved or not easily swayed from his purpose or his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trial or suffering. Someone who is steadfast can't just be moved easily, meaning firmly fixed siya. If it sounds familiar, it basically means someone is unwavering. So if we are here today and we want to have an unwavering kind of faith, a kind of faith that's not easily swayed when tough times happen, when storms hit us, then we need to know that the testing of our faith, trials, they are important in building and developing unwavering faith in us. God tests our faith in order to reveal and strengthen its condition. Usually an exam, it's there to make you aware how much you truly learned sa topic. Kung naminaw ba jud ka sa teacher nimo or igor na nagpa-photocopy yung notes the night before. Exams exist to reveal what is in you. How much do you know of that topic? The same thing with our faith. When our faith is tested, gireveal ang quality sa faith nato. Is it strong? Is it weak? Is it fake or is it real? It is revealed and it is strengthened. God reveals or pulls out the faith in us that we can be aware what our faith is like. It's kind of like when you find, let's say, a diamond. Let's say you go home right now. Well, nanilig ka, nakita ka diamond sa balay ninyo. And you're wondering, is this real? You want to know if tinuod ba? How much is it worth? Is it of good quality? Of course, if you want to do all those things, you need to bring it to someone and have it assessed. Have it tested. The same thing with our faith. God tests our faith so that it can be revealed if it's strong or not, and it can be strengthened as well. There's a point and reason why God tests our faith, and it is to our benefit. Now, moving on, what was Abraham's test naman? We've looked at his life for the past several chapters, his faith journey. Now, he's about to have his finals exam for his faith. What was his test? Verse 2, it says here, God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering." Many of us here today, we're probably familiar with the story of Isaac and Abraham offering his son. It's pretty familiar. But I want to remove that familiar feeling. Okay? Let this sink in muna. Imagine if you were Abraham. God speaks to you one day, comes to you, "Hey, Abraham, musta na? Abraham, you know your one and only son, si Isaac. I want you to take your one and only son, okay, Lord, sige, sige, son ako si Isaac, Lord, and I want you to offer him as a burnt offering." Imagine that. Offering your son as a burnt offering. When we say offer him as a burnt offering, it's like when they would offer animal sacrifices. They would have to kill the animal first, then they would burn it. That's what God is calling Abraham to do. Not just to bring him to church or to bring him to a religious place. It's to offer his son Isaac literally as a burnt offering, as a sacrifice. Imagine what God would tell you, okay, imong manghud, i-offer na siya as a sacrifice. Imagine that. God would tell you to offer your sibling or someone precious to you. What is the most precious thing for you? If God were to tell you to offer that, can you imagine that, how difficult, how terrifying that must have sounded? And yet God tested Abraham by telling him to give up something very precious to him, because Isaac is not just a son. Isaac represents God's fulfillment of his promise to Abraham, his 25-year-long prayer request. Imagine that, 25 years nag-wait si Abraham for Isaac to be born. That's older than some of you here today. Imagine that, that's Isaac, the promise fulfilled nga giuni God kang Abraham, his son Isaac. And now God is telling Abraham, offer your son, give up your son. That was very precious and dear to Abraham. And God tested him, "Abraham, what is more important to you basically? Is it me or some other thing?" What's being tested here is whether Abraham worships something more or he still loves and worships God above all. And a lot of times, church, when we get tested with our faith, it all boils down to that. Will we follow, obey God? Will we put God first above all? Or will we choose something else? God or something else? Tests reveal what or who we truly love and worship. And here is Abraham's test. What does he love or value the most? Who does he love or worship the most? Is it his son Isaac or is it God, the one who gave his son Isaac? That was his test. God was calling him to do the test. The question is, what is most precious to you, church? If God were to come to you right now, he would speak to you to offer as a sacrifice the most important thing in your life. Would you be willing to give it away? Take note, we're not talking about sin here. God did not ask Abraham to remove something sinful in his life. It was a blessing, in fact. It was his son. What is that something in your life that is so important for you, would you be willing to let it go if God tells you to let it go? Could be your house, a relationship ba, an item, a dream. What is it? Would you be willing to let it go? If ever man, you would be tested like Abraham when something like that happens. Now, I'm not saying after this, you take important items, isunog nimo sa altar, asa ka, magdaob ko, I'm gonna offer it. That's not the point. This is Abraham's story. Our story is different. We will encounter different kinds of challenges and trials. But end of the day, the choice is there. Will we choose God or choose our own way? How did Abraham pass this test? How did Abraham go through this test that we remember him as a great man of faith? What happened? Firstly, in verse 3, it says here, so Abraham, after God spoke to him, rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him and his son Isaac. Key word there, he rose early in the morning. So Abraham, he wasn't like, oh Lord, 5 minutes muna, Lord. Lord, unya pa Lord, 5 more minutes. Okay, for some of you, siguro, di ba, nakakupot na mo sa phone. The moment mo alarm, off na yun. But a lot of times, when we don't feel like waking up, when we don't feel like doing what we have to do on that day, higda ta, tulog ta, Lord. Unya na, Lord, pwede, namin kayo katulog. Bugat ang gravity, Lord. Kang Abraham, if you go back, he rose early in the morning. After God told him, Abraham, sacrifice your son. The very next day, he rises up early. It could have said there, Abraham woke up in noontime na. He didn't want to get up. Abraham dragged himself out of bed. It could have said there, Abraham didn't want to, but he had to anyway. But it says there, he rose early in the morning. As if excited siya. Today ako nang i-sacrifice si Dudong. Nak, asa na ka nak? As if excited siya. He rose early in the morning. For some of you, you wake up early. That's the time nga you're excited to do something. And here, he rose early in the morning. Walang 5 minutes, 5 minutes more. What we can learn from Abraham, firstly, immediate obedience. Not delayed obedience, immediate obedience. Abraham was willing to obey God, to do what God called him to do, even if we didn't understand it completely. Parang, Lord, you gave me this son. Ano ko ni mo again? Even if it was difficult, it was painful, he did it anyway. He obeyed. And for all of us here today, if we want to grow in our faith, obedience is an important factor to that. The more we obey God, the more we grow in our faith. It's the more we get to see and trust God, what happens when we obey God. Look at Abraham, what he did. He rose early, he saddled his donkey, he took his servants, he cut the wood personally, and he went off. And it's amazing because we're talking about Abraham here. Abraham wasn't always like this. Abraham wasn't always, Lord, I believe you, I'm gonna do it. If you remember, a few chapters ago, when God told him something impossible, when God told him, Abraham, magkaanak ka through Sarah, and they were almost 100 years old, he bargained with God, he laughed in disbelief, he hesitated, he didn't want to believe it. Lord, impossible na. And yet, in this story, there's no bargaining, there's no laughter in disbelief. There's no hesitation on Abraham's part. It's all, he did this early in the morning, he did this, he did that, and then he left. It's as if go na go si Abraham. It's like we're looking at a different person here, but this is the same Abraham who somehow has grown in his faith from someone who was hesitant, was doubtful, now is willing to obey God without a question. No bargaining, no laughter, no hesitation. Verse 4, on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. 3 days worth of travel. Can you imagine what kind of field trip that is? Oh no, sa ano, 3 days, kuyog ni mo imanak. Then you know at the end of 3 days, you're gonna offer your son. Siguro kung ikaw si Isaac, ano hilom kay papa sa biyahe na mo? What's in the mind of Abraham for 3 days? He could have turned back. He could have detoured or did something, Lord, kapoy man, Lord. But he went there nonetheless. And he was willing to do so. Verse 5, then Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. God told the two servants, probably because they couldn't understand what was going to happen later on. But he also told them, we're going to come back. Now, was Abraham just lying here? Was he just trying to cover himself? Was this some kind of offhanded remark lang? Hebrews 11:19. Give us a glimpse of the mindset of Abraham at this time. It says here, Abraham reasoned that if Isaac died, God was able to bring him back to life again. It's amazing that we have here Abraham who's believing for something seemingly impossible. Before, Abraham could not believe for the impossible. Abraham was limited to what's in the natural, what could happen physically lang. Usay pwede might abo naturally. But now we have Abraham believing that God would raise Isaac from the dead even if Isaac would die. In other words, what we can learn next from Abraham in this test of his, that Abraham was moving in radical faith. If we want to pass the testing of our faith, we need to have faith in the first place. And here, Abraham is demonstrating an amazing kind of faith. He's like, Lord, yes, you called me to sacrifice my son, but Lord, I'm going to believe that even as that happens, Lord, and I'm going to follow you to do it, Lord, you're going to raise my son back. Does it sound impossible after you killed someone? Buhi siya kalit. It sounds impossible. Even today. And yet, Abraham was radical in his belief that God would do so. You see, Genesis 22 is a story of Abraham's supreme act of faith. His ultimate act of faith, his ultimate act of obedience and trust in God. I mean, we're talking about the same guy in verse 17 of chapter 17. Again, he left when God told him that he was going to have a son. And yet now, we see Abraham believing for the impossible. How did we come to this Abraham who could believe for the impossible? Ano? Lahit na kaya siya. If for Abraham to be ready for this particular test, if taking a test requires levels of preparation, Abraham has had a lifetime of preparation, church. Looking at some of Abraham's tests in his life, he had to leave his hometown, he had to experience famine in the land, he had to wait for 25 years before magkaanak siya. Abraham had different kinds of challenges, testings. And sometimes he failed. He wasn't always successful. He failed God many times. He made mistakes many times. But one thing we could appreciate kang Abraham was that he kept walking with God. And that lifetime, that life prepared him. Abraham's supreme act of faith is coming from a miraculous life of faith. His life of faith prepared him for his ultimate test, which we're talking about right now. God asking him to sacrifice his only son. Basically, you cannot isolate Genesis 22. You can't remove this story on its own from Genesis 12 to 21. We have to appreciate and read through what Abraham has gone through from his call way back in Genesis chapter 12 when God called Abraham, all the way down now to Genesis chapter 22 when God is testing him. For us to fully appreciate this, we need to look back at what Abraham has gone through. Because that has formed and greatly helped him to become the man of faith that he is. Verse 6, and Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, laid it on Isaac his son, and he took it in his hand, the fire, and the knife. So they went both of them together. Now they're walking up the mountain. And Isaac said to his father Abraham, my father, and he said, here I am, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? Isaac parang, naisayop dari ah. Pa, asa ang lamba? Nay kuchilyo, nay kalayo, nay wood. Everything is ready, but where's the lampa? Kita ramang duha na. If you're Isaac, you'd wonder, what's happening pa? And Abraham just told Isaac, Abraham said, God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went, both of them together, in agreement. When you see here Abraham's faith to believe in God, and God's going to provide for that lamb. God's going to do something. I don't know how. I don't know unsaon, but God's going to provide. In verse 9, we're nearing the climax of the story. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abram built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Abram bound Isaac. As much as I've been talking about the faith of Abram, how we've been commending his faith, as we talk about this story, we also have to commend Isaac's faith. Because if you think about it, Abraham at this time was about 100 plus years old. If you were in Isaac's age, okay, there's some debate over his age, whether he was preteens or near his 20s na. If you were a young person like Isaac, you could probably take this guy on a fight. Parang, ano kung ibati mo pa? Sumbagong ikaw. Ikaw, i-offer na ako pa. That could happen. There could have been a twist there. No? And Isaac fought back and bound his father back and offered his father in retaliation. That could have happened. But Isaac did not do so. When you go back to the story, it says here, Abraham built the altar, laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac, his son. There's no resistance from Isaac. He simply agreed. Isaac showed great obedience and faith in submitting to his father. I'm pretty sure Isaac did not understand what was happening. Lord, ano ko gibat ni Papa, Lord? Ano ni kuchilyo? Ano ni sunog ni Lord? Ngayon siya mag-sacrifice ng mi Lord. Ano ako may nahimong sacrifice? For sure, he couldn't comprehend everything, but he obeyed. He submitted. He moved in faith. Isaac also moved in faith. Now going to verse 10, the climax of the story. Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. Abraham's about to basically kill his son as a sacrifice, as an offering to God. And we need to understand here, church, that Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. It wasn't like, Lord, isa na ako sa hand. Sige, Lord, stop it, Lord. Sige na, one more chance. Punggi ko, Lord. No, he was going to do it. Remember, he believed that God was going to raise his son from the dead. Abraham was about to sacrifice his son. He was ready to give up what was precious to him because something else is more precious to Abraham. He was ready to sacrifice his one only son. But in verse 11, the angel of the Lord came, called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here I am. In verse 12, what relief Abraham must have felt when he heard these words. He said, do not lay your hand on the boy or do anything to him, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. Abraham's faith is revealed here, that he is willing to spare nothing from God. That even his one and only son, he's willing to give it up. He's not selfish about it. Na parang, Lord, ako ni Lord. Precious na ako ni Lord. Mine ni Lord. You gave this to me, Lord. Going back to this here, you one and only son. When we have something now that's only one of quantity, it's harder for us to let it go. If Abraham had 500 sons, say, Lord, pick one. Itong pinakabata na lang, Lord. Akatong samukan, Lord, ng anak, ako itong i-sacrifice. But Abraham had one son. At this time, Ishmael had left. If you're wondering, asan's Ishmael? And Isaac was his only legitimate son. And yet Abraham was willing to let it go. He was willing to say, Lord, here's my son, Lord. I'm willing to offer it. His faith was revealed. And God honored him. God rewarded him. Nga, dili siya magsigolom. Dili siya mag-hoard. Abraham was not consumed about the promise, but he was devoted to the promise keeper. He was not like, Lord, this is the promise fulfilled by you. Lord, this is everything I've ever looked forward to. Lord, this is, my life is based on this. My life revolves around this. But Abraham's eyes were fixed on God. Yes, Lord, importante ni. Yes, Lord, this is great. I've been waiting for this. But Lord, you are more important. He's fixed or devoted to the promise keeper. Verse 13, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram, or a sheep, caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. Abraham said, God would provide a burnt offering. Here is the burnt offering provided by God. God has rewarded Abraham's faith. Mother, how seemingly impossible the scenario was. Verse 14, so Abraham called the name of the place, the Lord will provide. As it is said on this day, on the mount of the Lord, it shall be provided. What an amazing story that Abraham experienced firsthand, like once again, God's provision in his life. That on a moment, on a time where he really needed God to provide, to come through, God came through and provided the burnt offering instead of his son. And as I wrap up this story about Abraham and this series about unwavering faith, church, I want us to understand that as you walk in Christ, as we keep walking in this faith, you will hear and you will be making sacrifices. You will hear from God. There will be challenges in your life. There will be times where you have to make difficult decisions. You have to make sacrifices. But those sacrifices will be worth it. I'm not saying it will be easy, but they will be worth it. As we wrap this up once again, looking at the life of Abraham, I want us to understand that testings of our faith, is important or is crucial to building up unwavering faith. We need to have a different perspective and mindset. Whenever we get tested by God, whenever we get challenged by God, rather than a defeated mindset, we can have a different attitude saying, Lord, all right, I'm going to overcome this test, Lord. Not because mayo kay ko, Lord, or gabi ko, Lord, but Lord, because I trust you, Lord. The same thing that Abraham trusted God, that's why he was able to overcome his challenge. May we trust God in moments of trials, in moments of challenges. May we grow in our trust with God. And as we do so, we will overcome those trials and challenges and testings of our faith. Let's pray, church.
You just heard a message from Victory Dumaguete. For more messages like these, or to access other resources, please visit victorydumaguete.org or like our page on Facebook.